In northern Mali, French and African troops are still trying to unseat Islamist rebels who've taken over towns like Kidal. Kidal is small and dusty, but a hub of trans-Sahara traffic and trade in the desert region of northern Mali. It's also where our next guest spent several months collecting music rarely heard by the rest of the world. Musicologist Christopher Kirkley is a native of Portland, Oregon. He traveled to West Africa with an acoustic guitar, a digital recorder, and a small laptop to record traditional guitar music. Instead, he found the Saharan soundscape full of tinny digital audio coming from cheap off-brand cell phones. He started collecting the MP3s from the cell phone memory cards and has since put out two compilations of Saharan cell phone music, the latest just released on vinyl. And Christopher Kirkley joins us from the studios of KBNP in Portland, Oregon. Chris, what are we listening to?
Casso Akote with the song Amadine. And he's a guitarist from Niger playing in the typical Tuareg folk music style.
And these recordings on cell phones, it's a time we read that may already be disappearing, but you were right there when it was just thriving. Describe it. You say there are poor internet services, so everybody there has a cell phone, but they're more likely to use it to store pictures and songs like the one we just heard?
Yeah, the cell phone in West Africa has sort of been introduced as the first personal digital device. So they're really like tiny PCs that people are carrying around with them, with all the features, with the cameras and the video recording and the music and speakers. So people use them as portable hard drives.
Well, it's funny because I read how you had this earnest idea that you went with your guitar, you're sitting around campfires, you wanted to pass the guitar around so that you could hear some traditional music, and instead they whipped out their cell phones.
Yeah, it actually was kind of a pain when I first encountered it, you know, because I was there with my microphone, expecting to be trading these folk songs while people were playing them on guitar. And a lot of times I'd ask somebody, I'd say, oh, well, you know, play that song you were talking about, that old rebellion song. And rather than play it, you know, someone would take out their cell phone and hit play. And all I'd have is this tinny MP3 playing in the middle of the desert.
Well, but the cell phones became archival. You know, someone from Libya might come and they would bring songs with them and then people would trade them. Here is a song from Egypt. This is a young child singing about Friday. Let's listen. So, Chris, what is that child singing?
It's in Arabic, and it's saying, it's Friday, let's go buy a sheep, let's go have a good time.
Well, we understand the melody was taken from a song that is famous, but here's this recording of it. How are these things being produced? Is this, you know, was that recorded in a studio? Maybe you don't know about that particular one, but are they also using the cell phones to actually make the music? How is the music made?
You know, a lot of times these songs are recorded in studios, albeit these sort of amateur studios cobbled together with PCs and laptops and hacked versions of Fruity Loops and Ableton and these software programs. But the music really owes their existence to the cell phone as a device for diffusion. You can exchange music directly from cell phone using Bluetooth wireless technology. Something we're a lot more used to thinking of in terms of like a hands-free headset.
It sounds almost like, you know, that app Bump, where you can just put phones together and you can have a song or a picture jump from one device to another. It sounds like this is what people were doing as you traveled, sharing this music. And it becomes incredibly diverse because of that. Here is a song by the DJ, have I got this right, Mopeo?
Yeah, I think it's DJ Mopon.
Mopo, from Ivory Coast and Mali. Let's listen. So, Christopher Kirkley, we understand that you become entranced by these. You start asking people for their SIM cards so you can get some of this music. And then when you realize really what you had and you culled them, you tried to go back over and your information and try to find some of these people to sign them to record deals, to give them some credit. But that, I'm gathering, became pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, this music, the one thing interesting about it is how anonymous it is, you know. And these MP3s that are on cell phones often don't have any information on them besides a file name and an ID3 tag. So when it came to tracking down the musicians, it was a really laborious process of trying to decode this really minimal information and find out, A, where the musician was coming from, and B, who they were.
Well, some you did find. Let's listen to one more cut. This is, I believe it's Fino S, a young rapper from Mali. So Chris Kirkley, a lot has happened since you did this. First of all, we understand the internet is faster in Mali. So I'm wondering how that is, this cell phone music culture maybe disappearing a little. And also, of course, we know in some places extremists have instituted Sharia law, that some of these young people, for instance, the ones you met in Kidal, have fled. So what's your sense of this cell phone music culture?
I think that the cell phone will continue to have a role in music. I mean, people are using cell phones to experience music single-handedly. It's a device where you play music, and the cell phones have speakers in them. So it's an iPod, it's a boombox, amongst these myriad of different options. The problem in the north of Mali has definitely affected the music culture, in particular the Sharia that's been implemented in northern Mali has actually banned cell phone music. The Islamists have actually even taken to destroying cell phone towers, seeing them as indicative of this sort of popular music culture.
Well, not just the music culture, but we understand the cell phones are some of the only ways to document the actual rebellion. We're not seeing it on the internet in large part because there isn't a lot of internet in Mali. And yet videos of the rebellion have been captured on these cell phones. And we understand you're going to be going back next month to try to collect some of these. You know, as you say, if there's no hard copies, these things are going to disappear.
Right. There's a certain ephemeral nature to this medium that's on cell phones. It survives as long as it's floating through this cloud, this sort of analogous internet. And once the data isn't transferred anymore, then it does disappear due to size constraints on cell phones and the fact that it's not being archived. So in particular with the rebellion, like you mentioned, I think that the really important story of what's been happening in northern Mali does exist on cell phone medium, and we'll see what happens.
Well, we do. We look forward to seeing what you find. That's Portland, Oregon musicologist, I think we'd have to say journalist, Chris Kirkley. His second collection of Saharan cell phone music has just been released on vinyl. We'll hook you up at hereandnow.org. Chris, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, this is fun. We'll link you to the music and also have a slideshow of Chris's pictures from Mali at hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service NPRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what this week brings. Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.